Hey, welcome to the Out of Spec podcast. I'm Jordan Schieffer, joined by Mike Breeling, Ben Spreen, and Timon Schreer. We are going to talk about a lot of fun things tonight, including Timon officially joining the off-road community. SEMA is in full swing this week. We'll look at some fun builds there. And there's a new Z06 in the Corvette family, plus much, much more. So let's jump right in. I actually wanted to recap on my trip that I just finished the east leg of, when I went out to see Mike and Ben and a bunch of other things, including DC. Took some fun cheesy photos of my car in front of things like, did you guys know they left up the set from Spider-Man Homecoming?
So that's... wow. I didn't
know that. Yeah, so Washington Monument, Capitol.
Is that where they film National Treasure?
Maybe.
No way.
National Treasure is just a documentary, right? So it was a great road trip, almost exactly 5,000 miles after getting back to Colorado. And as of our last, the podcast a couple weeks ago, when I was in Atlanta, I didn't have all these pictures done. So here's my car for our visual listeners on YouTube, with it actually lowered. And you can just see how horrible the offset is on these wheels.
it looks good at that height, though.
Yeah, I dialed in the height pretty well. Here's another one. That's Justin, one of our riders for Swerve Autos, trying to figure out what I did to my car. But yeah, I think it's perfect height. So from the side angle, I want to get your guys' opinion. These are 17s. Should I ever try 18s or is this just okay?
No, yeah, I think 17s look that's perfect.
What's the profile on the tire?
So these are 215/45s.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go to these are 17x7, so I'm going to go to a 17x8 with a bit better offset, and then probably 225 with tires, and I think that'll just be so perfect.
My experience with every single car I've owned is that going one size up or one size down from the max, whichever it is, you know, one from base or one down from the maximum wheel size, the middle is always perfect.
Oh, yeah.
With the exception of Model S and Model X, you got to go 21s or 22s on those cars. But
24s only.
You can fit a 22 on an S when 21 is the biggest factory, and a 22 on an S looks goofy. So I think that's kind of why.
Yeah, take into account the car. So it was solid. Yeah, I was really shocked at how different the scenery was as far as fall colors. I shouldn't be shocked because it's just, you know, nature. Like, cold weather is still happening up north, so
nature.
They're hitting it first versus Atlanta was like still hot when I got there. So
was it your first time on the East Coast?
I've been to Hilton Head Island, and I bought my car in Ohio, and that was the furthest.
Not the East Coast.
Yeah, that was the furthest I'd ever.
Ohio doesn't really have a coast specifically.
No, but like
bring us down with Ohio.
East wise, that's the furthest I'd been. So this was fun to go all the way up. Not all the way. Next trip is going to be like Maine, like full send. Mm-hmm. So this was a good time though. 5,000 miles. I found out. So I took a seat cushion by that Purple company, like the Purple mattress company. They make these seat cushions, and that was phenomenal. After like 20 hours, I'd just throw that on there, and then I'd be good for another 20. So, fun fact. So I got back from that, and then I'm about to leave next week to go do basically the same thing, but to the West Coast, the actual coast. I didn't actually see the Atlantic Ocean, which was kind of sad.
That's close. A missed opportunity. You should have gone to the ocean. Come on.
I was close. So next time I'll just go back.
You're only 5 hours away. Come on.
Yeah.
2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is from here.
Yeah. So next time, but I will go west, take a lot more photos. Me and Kyle are going to rip the Miata around pretty much every fun road we can find between San Francisco and LA.
I'm going to just give you one now. Write it down. It's called Lake Hughes Road. Excellent.
Lake Hughes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave your comments below where I should go. We'll try to capture everything. While I was coming back east, Timon was about to also come back from the east. He went and bought something. Timon, tell us about your fun.
So I bought a Lexus GX 470 rail unit. One owner lovely, no rust, and 200,000 miles.
And let me tell you, it looks good.
The ball joints, or the ball joints and the lower control arm bushings, are completely shot. So the ride home at like 65 miles an hour, the car was just like this the entire time, but it would steer straight. So I was like, oh, that's fine. I'll make it home.
Yeah, I'll live.
How about that tire noise though? Because you have what, 33s on there?
Yeah, 33s on some cheap Chinese, I think they're Fortune tires. Ooh. But they did the job. We went off-roading the other day. It went well. But I picked it up in Georgia, went to Wilmington, North Carolina to visit my brother, and then left from there to go to Colorado. And I will say that driving that route seemed a lot slower than in the Focus RS, and I was doing probably about the same speeds. I was holding on for dear life in the GX, not the RS, but I was surprised. It doesn't have like Apple CarPlay or anything, but I just got a cassette player with a Bluetooth module and it worked perfectly fine.
Wow. For those who don't know, a cassette player is what we used to have in cars.
It used to be called a 3-in-1, cassette, CD, and AM/FM.
Wow. That was real technology.
That's car lingo.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it has every option you could get in 2004. So it's got the rear DVD player.
Ooh.
Ours does not have the DVD player.
We have the rear radio. Thing.
Yeah. Time and I still have my PlayStation 2 with the RCA connectors. Let's play some Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, exactly. In your
backseat. Good idea.
So this is 04. Mike and Ben, what year is yours?
5, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually would have to go look at the title. I don't even
know. No, I know what year it is.
Upgraded motor that you have 30 more horsepower?
Yeah. So we have 270 horsepower compared to your measly 240. And variable valve timing intake and all that, which can be another area of, you know, maintenance apparently on these things. I know that there's
mine was replaced, I think, 20,000 miles ago, so I got another 60 left before I got to switch that.
Wow.
Yeah, did yours come with a new timing belt recently?
Yep.
That's pretty much the one major wear item on these cars.
Mm-hmm.
So what's
this next? Thing looks awesome.
Yeah, what modifications are next? It looks too stock.
Lift kit is first.
Yes.
Because I don't want to deal with the stock airbags and stock suspension with 200,000 miles on it. And I want to fit 35.
They're probably not stock airbags anymore, man. I bet you those have been replaced at least once.
I have the full Carfax like maintenance history, and it was very well maintained. Hmm. Only to Toyota and Lexus dealers. Lovely.
Yeah. Did you go to Lexus and put the VIN in and see all the service in the Lexus website? Because you can do that.
Oh, I have not even checked that.
Oh, you should check that, because we printed out 15 pages for ours from just
Lexus. Yeah, we got 15 pages and 68,000 miles. They're going to send you a dictionary, basically.
The previous owner replaced turn signals at the Lexus dealer.
Oh, yeah, that's my like the bulbs for the headlight for the turn signal is not the bulb itself, but the housing for it's kind of cracked. So there's just like glass inside my headlight housing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's actually, I know how they did that. When I had to replace one shortly after we bought ours, our daytime running light, which is also the turn signal, went out on the passenger side. So I was trying to replace it, and I kept grabbing the wrong one, and I thought I almost broke something. And then it was like, it's another smaller tab a little further back. And then as soon as I twisted it the way you're supposed to, I was like, oh, that comes right out. But it was actually burnt and like exploded in the socket. Like it shorted out or something crazy. The previous bulb.
Yeah, I think mine is on the passenger side as well.
Oh, yeah. It must be common.
I think I want to remove the running boards from ours now because it makes yours look so much more aggressive. Off-road.
We actually almost took our running boards off-roading. So
yeah, the only bad thing is, if you hit it now without any rock sliders, your door is gone.
Yeah. I've told Ben I want to get rock sliders for our GX because one, they look freaking awesome. And two, it does do a world of favor. Bro, like
in some of the situation. Anything. We were fine. I maneuvered it very well. But if I do anything, I'm going to just grab some 4Runner TRD Pro sidestep/rock sliders because they just bolt right on.
I think I for sure thought Timon was going to lose his splash guards yesterday.
Oh yeah, so my mud flaps still on there.
Mm-hmm. We did some great off roading yesterday. Timon had his very capable rig. It just looked so good. It just did everything, like no problems.
Yeah, and it's amazing how capable they are.
Really? Dude. Wow.
And it just crawled right up everything.
Yeah, that four-wheel drive system on these cars is truly amazing. I don't even know if the newer GXs are as good, to be honest.
We had one, I think, like 6 months ago, maybe almost a year ago. We had the newer GX, and there's literally nothing that's been changed.
It's just the same car.
Interior quality's better, but other than that, like you basically have the same infotainment center. You don't have CarPlay, and it looks outdated. And this is, I mean,
it does, yeah.
I have the nav system in mine, so I can't really upgrade my head unit.
Yeah, so do we. That's the one downfall.
There's a thing that plugs into it, and then that runs Apple CarPlay or Android Auto.
Yeah, that's $600. I'll get Rock Slider for that.
It's probably not worth it, but yeah.
Yeah, we were not worth it.
So Timon, so we also have the NDX, and Timon, did you ride in this at all? Like, what?
Yeah,
you think
I drove it yesterday, and it's not terrible, but it's also just like
it's very meh. I imagine just kind of plain Jane. On the road, I'm sure it's great, but
I think the all-wheel drive system, the Shaudi all-wheel drive system. Yes. Is not that good, because in this picture he got hung up on that rock by his front passenger tire, and it was just shooting up dirt, and the rear tire was on a rock and could have easily put more power down but just didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's very much a street car. Like, some of our issues were ground clearance, because we tried to take it on this like off-road course, which is funny because nothing was. We show up and there's all these legit rigs and then this mom car, and got some great looks. I was actually impressed in the canyons, and Kyle was too. Like, handling wise, Acura with the new 2022 fourth gen has double wishbone suspension. It's solid. The brakes were really good, but the power is really lackluster, especially at altitude. I'm sure it's better at sea level, but it just needs that turbo so bad. So the Type S in theory could fix everything, because it's going to be turbo 3-liter with Brembo brakes. And all we had issues with was the power. And then after enough intense driving, the brakes started to fade, but it lasted longer than most brakes did. So mixed bag for sure. The interior, I don't even know it.
Oh, the little menu selector thing, that is the most infuriating thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, one of the worst UI.
Question on this new UI, is it just one screen now? It's not that double screen setup. So they replaced it with I've been in a recent RDX. So I'm assuming it's similar to that system.
Yeah. Same.
And the screen's also not touchscreen, which is a real flaw.
Which is really annoying, yes.
I never tried to set up it, but I'm shocked by that.
And you can't set up Bluetooth either while driving. It just shuts off. If you're at a light stop, you're still on drive, you can do it. But then as soon as you start driving, it just closes it out and says cancel. And
well, Audi used to say, for your safety, this feature is not available while driving.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I'm sick of automakers treating me like I'm a 4-year-old and I can't make my decisions. Like, yes, those are distracting things. But a passenger can be inputting stuff very easily. Audi, that drove me nuts. You couldn't zoom in and out on the map while moving.
On my Miata.
You could zoom, but you couldn't pan around, which is like very useful on a long distance trip to like see, oh, how far is my next charge stop? Not allowed.
I grounded the parking wire on my Miata, so it thinks it's always in park, so I can do everything on the infotainment.
Yeah, but I feel like as soon as you plug in Apple CarPlay, it bypasses every safety law, and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's not a legal thing, because obviously Tesla can let you use a web browser while driving, so it's not like there's some legal reason. It's manufacturers thinking that they can enforce these things because of their own reasons, which annoys me.
Yeah.
Like, let me at least sign a thing and get the options to,
right?
I don't know, change the screen brightness of the Audi while moving.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's fine. Although these ducts here are extremely obviously fake.
Yes.
It's kind of
I can see them from here.
Wow. I never actually noticed
those. It's a good design choice, but they're big enough to where the filled in plastic is really ugly and obvious. But otherwise,
I imagine on brighter colors. Yeah,
no, it's just like what Toyota did with the Supra. They left it closed so that you can open it for more power.
Yeah,
for the modding community.
Yeah,
yeah. I can't wait to get my hands on one of these and supercharge it.
Is the one that you guys have on loan? Is that an A spec version?
It's the advanced package. So
it includes that, I think.
Yeah, so it's
pretty much loaded.
it's loaded, but yeah, Type S is where it's at, 100%.
You know, there used to be a supercharger kit for the Acura MDX, like the first gen one.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
Bring it back.
I just thought I would share that. it is an actual thing that was being sold for a while.
So, yeah, this thing, it's fine. But the other car we have is the new S-Class, the S580.
Oh, so nice.
Twin turbo V8. It's just, 500 horsepower.
Look at that suspension in this photo.
Yeah, fully active airmatic suspension with, 9-speed gearbox, hot stone massaging seats.
Are the rear seats in yours massaging as well?
No, we don't have the executive. We just have the AMG line.
Yeah.
Does
it still have two gears for reverse?
Not anymore. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That used to be a cool thing in the S class.
But this has the rear wheel steering. So this only has 4.5 degrees. With the executive package, you can get 10 degrees, which doesn't make sense to me that you can't get that on the AMG line, but whatever. I don't make it. But yeah, we don't have, so the rear seats are heated and cooled, but not massaging, and they don't have the rear screens. So we have the peasant version. It's only 140.
I will say that one of the coolest things about this is that front and rear passenger, or all the seats, your armrest, if you have the heated seat on, turns warm.
Yeah.
And the center console up front also gets warm.
Yeah.
It's like a warmth and comfort package or something crazy.
Yeah.
That's a thing that I think all luxury manufacturers need to do now. Like, I think BMW offers a similar feature. And maybe even Genesis.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you find that at Genesis. I feel like they wouldn't do that because it's an actual nice feature and not something that you can just put on for a options list that's long.
Uh-oh, Ben, your audio has gone robot again. But yeah, so like even these like weird lines on the dash, that's a $1,300 package just to have
the piano, inlays in the wood.
Yeah, the piano like black lines. It's premium piano black plastic.
I wouldn't pay for that.
Yeah.
I mean, me neither, but also having it, it's not an eyesore. It's very nice.
Yeah.
This was spec'd to 140 grand.
Yeah. So it was fairly maxed out AMG. So, it's got, face ID, fingerprint sensor. So it's got biometrics if you want to sign into your profile that way. MBUX is great, of course. It's an OLED screen in the middle. Really intuitive. One of my favorite types of, I guess, auto UI systems. This has the premium Burmeister 4D sound system.
That's what I was going to say. I can tell by the tweeter in the door.
It was so cool because there's like subwoofers in the seat. So even in the rear seat,
really?
You can adjust how much bass you get in the seat and it vibrates the seat.
Yeah. you can do it. It's a scale from 0 to 10. 3 or 2 is about the sweet spot. But of course, I got in and time and had it set to like 10.
That's how you get massaging seats
in
the
Kyle,
rear.
massaging seat rear hack. Great idea.
One thing that I've always been a fan of, especially in recent S-Classes and just Mercedes in general, the ambient lighting is probably just off the chart, everywhere in this thing.
64-color ambient lighting, dynamic multicolor, fantastic. The 3D gauge cluster is really cool and really effective. The augmented reality navigation is fantastic. Like, it really feels like a car from the future And it's almost an eyesore when you throw on like Apple CarPlay or Android Auto because they just don't look future enough.
I think the biggest Apple CarPlay I've ever seen in any car.
Yeah, it put my apps on like three rows. I've never seen that in a car.
So it takes up like almost that whole screen there.
Yeah,
like
you
that
can kind of see it in that picture. How
where the blue starts at the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like the above the home button. That's all CarPlay.
Wow, that's nice.
Wow, yeah.
It's huge. It's really high resolution. Like CarPlay looks great. And I was really impressed with the augmented reality. It just like throwed arrows like on the windshield on the actual street where I was supposed to go. And we couldn't figure out how it does it, but when you're at a stoplight, it does a countdown before the light turns green.
It's somewhat accurate. I think it just does generic based on like New York City and LA. And grabs that info, and then once it sees a stop line turning red, it gives a countdown, because half the time it's just like 15 seconds off.
Yeah. So it's...
I thought it was had to be tied into like smart city stuff like Audis were, but maybe, I wonder.
I mean, it might, some lights might be set up correctly in Fort Collins, but I think four of them were all miscounted.
Yeah. So pretty accurate, but not perfect. But great car. It's just crazy to think this is about the same price as a Model S Plaid. And it's like, do you want like the epitome of luxury, everything you can possibly think of in the interior, or do you want mind-blowing acceleration?
Mind-blowing acceleration, please. Thank you.
No, S-Class all day. 1,000 horsepower.
I don't buy a car to like not drive it, so I'm going to have 1,000 horsepower.
It's fast enough.
No.
Do a muffler delete on this spec.
A gasoline powered car. I really want it to be I guess the GX is an exception, but I want an off-roader or like a sports car. I don't want like a numb feeling gas car, because then I'm putting money into something that's not fun.
I'll get an EQS. Problem solved. Right.
Well, that solves it. That's electric.
Yeah.
True.
Well, let's jump into some news, shall we? In case you're under a rock and missed it, the new Corvette Z06 has been unveiled. What did you guys think of that? I have my own thoughts, but
it sounds great.
Yeah,
it sounds like a 458. It's basically the same. It's the same motor design, but I don't. The look of it was
Yep. See, I think for me, it fixes what I disliked about the C8.
Yes, I agree.
I thought the like, I don't know what it was exactly, but the C8 was just a bit, I don't know, awkward because it was like too narrow or something. Like it just looked like, you know, like a Ferrari order from wish.com. but the Z06 making it 3.5 inches wider, like, all the body appearance stuff. Like I'm a huge fan. I still don't, you know, I would never pick this over a McLaren or Ferrari or Lamborghini. I'd be on the fence. I've never liked Lamborghinis that much, but Ferrari, McLaren, I'm a huge fan. And I still think they look way better than this, but
I think I'd pick this over McLaren, honestly, because of reliability.
Yeah, that's valid.
Yeah.
I think this is the best it's looked, actually. Yes, like the vents and the width.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this does look really better than the regular C8, but I'm more of a fan of like the C7.
Yeah, now that I see C8s everywhere, I'm kind of tired of it. And so I see a really good setup C7, and I'm really excited, especially with that 7-speed manual. But this is still an intriguing car.
I will say that it finally feels like they've got an engine that fits what the car is better, because the other engine kind of doesn't rev, and I've driven one a little bit, and it just kind of, you bump into redline a lot, especially without it being a manual where you're not quite as engaged, with the RPMs. You had a Z51, right? Or a base or whatever.
I think a Z51 on snow tires.
Yeah.
And I was not that impressed with it.
I think I drove a base and I didn't really.
It's like they just threw in a V8 on something that's quite heavy. That's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the Z06 fixes a lot of that. I mean, one, as we already mentioned, the soundtrack of this car finally fits how it looks, I think. Like, it's a mid-engine 100%. Car, And now it sounds like a mid-engine car. You know, it doesn't sound like an American muscle car, which I'm sure some people would, that's what they're going to miss. But the fact that I think that they've already sold out of the Z06 for a couple of years.
I saw a TikTok or something. Someone had like 1,500 allocations already, down payments for them. And it's like, yeah, it's going to be 2 to 3 years before you even get one.
It was, let's be realistic, that car sold out before it was announced, most likely. Like, if you're going to get one, you were on that list before they even brought it up. And that should be the moral of this story for anyone considering a future car they really want right now, and probably in the future. You should just consider putting yourself, find your favorite local dealer, because God could review us, whatever you got to do, and just put yourself down on the list. Say, hey, I know this is likely to come out. I want to be the first.
Well, Ben, I need an allocation or something.
8,600 RPM. That's going to sound fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That with an exhaust.
Did you see with it? I think their rear tires are like 345 section.
Yeah, something like that.
Meaty tire.
25, meaty, skinny. Wow. Yeah, staggered offset. So super,
I mean,
super
cool. I think the big question is, there's MSRP, but what are people going to actually pay for this car?
Yeah.
Like 130s, I think.
We don't know exactly, but over 90 is the educated guess.
I bet you it'll be around 100.
Car on the market.
100 to 110 sticker.
Sticker, yeah, and then it's going to be 150 if you can get one.
That's I think 130s, 140s.
Wow.
Standard 20-30K markup. And then everyone who got one early is going to try and flip it. So,
yeah.
Just like the regular C8. I mean, people are
just
still
like,
you know, flipping those. It's
just like Xbox Series X all over again.
Yeah. PlayStation 5. But cool car, though. I mean, it's an awesome feat of engineering for a GM to do. I mean, they've put a lot of time and money into this thing, and I think it actually is befitting of its look now. So I'm excited to see one. Yeah,
I can't wait to see some aftermarket applications, like whenever people do turbo or supercharge this thing.
Oh, and unlike the last Z06, no cooling issues. Right?
Yeah, yeah, hopefully.
Shouldn't heat soak.
But I wonder what the new ZR1 might be in the near future, you know?
Yeah.
Or the Zora or whatever it's supposed to be called, the like electrified version of this. That one. Mm. And some electric motors with torque vectoring on the front axle. I'm interested.
Corvette's got a future, that's for sure. It could probably be its own brand by now.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, it is weird like thinking this is Chevrolet, because I don't know, the rest of their cars are, I mean, the new Camaros look good, but I don't think they
they're probably not long in the tooth at this point. I think the Camaro might be killed for kind of like a Mustang Mach-E type thing in the near future.
Camaro crossover.
I mean, you can buy a Corolla Cross now, which is basically just the ZHR badged as a Corolla.
Can we talk about the
and your audio? I can't even understand what you're saying.
It's probably not going to be worse than a CHR.
I got the end of it.
CHR was like, looks good, terrible for everything else. And then there's the Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross, if we want to bring that bombshell out.
Please don't.
Outlander Sport underneath.
Also, relatively new news is Range Rover 2022. Smooth looks. That's an understatement. It is ridiculous. I'm sure I'm going to see these in person and be like, no, that's a rendering.
With the matte paint, it will. Yeah.
When I first saw it, when they showed the like brown gold color, I was like, this thing's hideous. It is way too Dubai-y for me. I was like, that is not it.
Yeah, it's like champagne on wheels.
I like it.
But this one right here. Yeah.
Oh, that's a spec.
Yeah, dark gray, all the black accents.
Pick them up in 5 years and you'll be the happiest man alive.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I know the rear end's probably the section of most contention, But I think if, like here in this photo, if you're watching on YouTube, I think that just looks really good. And the way the like LED lights work.
Yeah.
Handlebar mustache.
I like rear end. I like that they're portraying it in a winery, like literally between rows of grapes.
They know their audience.
Yeah, exactly. Rich white moms.
Is that a dog bowl?
Napa Valley. Yes.
Oh, I thought that was a subwoofer.
Then your audio is completely gone.
Completely. You should mute yourself and look at something.
Completely, completely gone.
But yeah, so as Ben was saying, Land Rover actually offers like a whole range of dog accessories because, I mean, their cars are utilized in a lot of dog-related activities, whether it be hunting or just enjoy. But the interior of this car, I absolutely love. I love the new gauge cluster that's kind of like floating. Mm-hmm. The new Privy Pro, I believe is what it's called. Their new infotainment. Privy Pro. There you go. Looks great. I've had a chance to use one in person briefly on a new XF that came out a year ago. And it's a lot better than their old outgoing system. It's a lot more responsive. Don't compare it to a Tesla, I would say. I mean, right. Tesla still has a great UX for that size of a screen, or I'm sure even the Mercedes, new S-Class is probably a little bit more responsive, just judging by the company. But the material quality in this car, I think, is going to be exceptional. And we're going to start seeing these things everywhere for sure.
As we're seeing Defenders now. And
thousands of them. Yeah, starting to see Defenders a lot more often. I would still have one, but it'd be tough to have one over a Rivian at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think I would do a Defender over a Rivian just because it's Defender name. Sounds cool.
Yeah. I totally understand that. I actually just built a Defender the other day again. I'm like, ooh. Steel wheels, where it's
at. My mom had a 2016 Range Rover, and then we recently had a pre-production Defender, which the screen had some bugs, but the UI is completely different and so much nicer. Mm-hmm. Even with the bugs, it was so easy to use, and you could figure out where to go in the infotainment center. If it were settings or just like connecting a phone, it was so much easier.
Yeah, it looked a lot easier. And I know I've used one, that new system. Oh, are you talking about like their new 11 inch system that they have now, like that one that's in the Range Rover, or the new one that just came out with the Defender? Because they've updated it now to the bigger screen.
Well, I think we had the Defender with the bigger screen, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, so that would it's be the same
on both screen sizes too.
But I think the big thing with this Range Rover is the plug-in hybrid now actually has a really usable battery. I mean, 60 miles of range on the WTLP cycle, I believe it's called, the European cycle.
Yeah.
Over here, probably about 30, not 25.
It's really funny. Like WLTP, whatever. Yeah, it was like over 60 miles, but Range Rover themselves, JLR was like, yeah, you can probably expect 50.
it's a big car.
What other auto manufacturer has undercut what people are saying? I guess it'd be funny.
But I mean, think about the tax credits you can get. And I know in Europe, a long way. So you're just going to see plug-in hybrids everywhere that are probably never plugged in or ever charged. You're just going to run the gas motor,
right?
Their new inline six.
I know that's 31 kilowatt-hours usable. I think that is at a minimum probably 45 per HP if you're driving pretty inefficient.
Yeah, that could be up to 45 miles potentially, depending on your driving
style. That's one of the larger batteries of a plug-in hybrid right now.
I mean, I want to test that because that Jeep did 25 miles consistently on 15 kilowatt-hours.
That Jeep was something.
Yeah. So, I think maybe 50. We'll find out. We're going to test
it. I think this is a great product, but I really would just wait for the electrified version they talked about, because as much as I love a Range Rover with a V8, Now that it's no longer the supercharged V8 5-liter, it's now a BMW 4.4-liter turbo. No longer interested.
Your audio's gone again.
I don't know.
Robot man.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. The 4.4-liter turbo is definitely not like, you know, when you think of Range Rover, you think of superchargers or JLR in general. Mm-hmm. So it's the fact that now it's a turbo and it's a BMW motor. I mean, I'm sure it's probably more reliable than the old JLR motor in general. Unless you got the diesel. The diesel was stout. I think that's what Timon's
Yeah, that's
had.
What my mom had. Great motor. But then when the DEF system failed, they just like, we're not getting an exhaust for it. So yeah. They just sold it. And now she drives an F-150.
Well, that's definitely different. But that's different. The newer F-150 interiors are probably just as nice as the Range Rover.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, when's the electric one come out? They said 2024, I think. Yeah,
fully yeah, electric. A couple years.
We'll see. That'll be sweet. I mean, then it'll be like this versus Rivian. I'd love to compare them. Because that's
kept the standard rear locking differential too.
No, I don't think this would compete with Rivian though.
Yeah, do I? I was gonna say I wouldn't
maybe
compare
like
these two.
An S class it would compete with because it's kind of the same market. Because the general owner of a Range Rover is not going to take it off road. They're just going to drive it to the grocery store, and that's it. But then there's Ben, Mike, and Kyle that will go off roading in their Range Rover,
as we have done.
I don't know. I've sold some Range Rovers to people when I worked back at the company who like would drive them through multiple feet of water because they lived on the coast and they had to drive through a river to get to their home, basically. Jesus. But I suspect they were in a
Range Rover specific scenario.
Yeah. The guy came and said, my main question is the waiting depth. And I was like, oh, I know this. It's, you know, 900 millimeters. He's like, okay. Doing the math in his head, he's like, that'll work. I'm like, really? Oh, wow. You must have a heck of a driver.
Let's talk SEMA because that's always a fun time for any auto enthusiast. So, Timon, you said you kind of knew what TJ Hunt was up to because we don't, at the time of this recording, we don't know everything going on at SEMA yet, but we should
know.
Yeah,
this is a day before SEMA officially starts. Yes. So today all cars are loading in and stuff.
Yeah.
But TJ Hunt, he's actually a pretty well-known YouTuber, started out with a 328i, and now he's got his own wide-body kit for Supra and the C8, and I think it looks phenomenal, and what's getting unveiled tomorrow, I think, is the version 1.5. So what you're seeing, the actual renderings right now, is of the series or the version 1. So they're probably just going to be slight upgrades. But I think the wide body, especially if you go one picture up for the red one, it looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does actually work on that car really well. I think that is what this, I mean, we've talked about the C8 earlier, just how none of us really like the way it looked. I actually think this looks a lot better, like almost like it should have looked to begin with.
Yeah.
And kind of what the Z06 fixes, you know, in a way. Z06
only does 3.5 inches.
That's, this is a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Like but
10 in the rear, basically.
But it looks, it does look good on this body for sure, on this car. It works. I would agree.
Yeah.
And then I think his is also twin turboed. So he's got I think he bought the highest spec you could get when they first released. And then 2 months ago, he completed a turbo kit for it and makes 800 wheel on pump gas on a low boost setting because the ECUs haven't been broken and they've got transmission issues with holding more than that power.
Yeah, that's a new dual clutch system in this car, so not
surprising.
But he
wants to set the fastest time, quarter mile time with one, so we'll see how that goes. And then he also has a Huracan that's got a Super Trofeo kit on it.
Oof.
And that looks phenomenal. That is also twin turboed and also makes it a heavy wheel.
That color with those wheels, yes.
Yeah,
all
so
about it.
Dark green with a hint of blue, gold wheels with the silver lips. Yeah, that's a look.
That's like it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, I would, I would have that in my garage.
Probably do an R8 over Huracan, honestly, because I've heard a lot more people say it's more comfortable.
I would love to daily an R8. Just throwing that out there.
I think we all.
I saw a 2017 R8 sidebar a little bit here the other day that had almost 50,000 miles on it. It was a daily driver. I was like, good for you. You're actually driving your car. That's amazing.
Well, Ben got a Sheepy built. So his Huracan's built by Sheepy. And Ben got a Sheepy built Huracan Evo in for trade once.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It was really, really, really fast. I just can't iterate enough how ridiculous that thing was.
Faster than a Plaid?
Huh? Honestly, I think so, you know, because it was like 1700 horsepower, but it's a different experience. Like Plaid is just, oh my God, here's some G-force and nothing else. And that is sort of like overstimulation. There's so much happening.
Yeah. There's a guy in Wilmington that has a twin turbo Huracan Performante and like a 2000 wheel horsepower GTR. And he's trying to call out Plaid owners to show them what actual real speed is.
Jeez.
It's a whole new level of horsepower wars.
Yeah, exactly.
There will always be someone with a faster car. That's the one thing you need to learn in life is no matter how bad or fast you think your car is, there's that going to be that one person. And they're crazier.
Yeah, there's going to be that one person with a
Plaid. That's true.
But yeah, there's also on the slower end of things some interesting Jeeps, Jeep Wrangler concepts, especially this one, which was, what was this called?
Overlook.
The Overlook, which is actually a brilliant name for a third kind of higher row of seating.
Yep. So basically, it takes the old Jeep Commander, you know, recipe and puts it to a Wrangler. So it's longer and you have a third row of command seating, it looks like. I mean, hence the way it looks.
Yeah.
I think if Jeep were to ever make a three row Wrangler, which I mean, I won't ever doubt that they will never potentially make that. I mean, they make a freaking plug-in electric one at this point and a 2 liter turbo and all that.
Yeah, right.
They would sell a ton of this car. Like there are people out there who would gladly have a three row Wrangler over a three row Grand Cherokee L, including me, because I think this thing looks crazy. And if they ever do another Jurassic Park, this should be the car in it, not a G-Wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the Defender style roof.
Where it kicks up. I love that.
Yeah.
But I do know there is a better roof that actually looks like a Defender, that where the rear glass goes basically all the way to the near to the front, and that looks killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would look good, cuz I mean the Wrangler, this generation Wrangler in particular, just already looks good. And then it looks like that they
upgraded their stuff.
Oh yeah, it's a whole ton of a lot better than the JK ever was, just quality wise.
I had a JK and I sold that thing in 6 months.
I owned a JK too. Yeah, I sold it in 6 months as well.
I also think that it should be considered travel-based to put like 7 people in a room there for more than like an hour because they're pretty miserable cars to travel in.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about a three-row Wrangler off-roading at Moab. Come on, you can take you, all your friends.
I honestly probably would never do that because I feel like it would flip.
I love this 4xE concept. This is how I'd order my 4xE.
That's very cool. I love the interior. You can probably actually order those doors already, but
yeah,
that's a very cool looking, I mean, plug-in hybrid. There's no other plug-in hybrid that looks like that currently on the market.
White with the blue interior. Yeah.
I love the little LEDs they show underneath the car too.
Yeah.
Embedded down there on the frame rail. Like that's cool.
The SEMA truck style.
Yeah. I mean, in North Carolina, Timon's from here, you can get that wheel glow and
The first thing I had to stop in Raleigh and I'm driving out towards like Greensboro area, and as soon as I head to 40, there's a new Escalade slammed like this. There's probably this much gap from the rear tire, and it's just some 18-year-old kid with a hat, just like hair basically flowing out. I'm just like,
yeah,
this is why I don't live here anymore.
Absolutely truth right there.
And the Ford section of SEMA is called Ford Out Front. So probably first thing you see when you get there. And there's some custom Broncos that I thought were super cool. And Timon, have you considered tracks on your GX?
I have not. I don't think it snows enough here to do so. But God. The new Bronco looks phenomenal. And especially what RTR is doing with them.
Yeah.
I think that name, Fun Runners, iffy, but I agree it looks good otherwise.
I'm excited for the Bronco Raptor.
Oh yeah.
Yes, which is gonna be a real thing. So it's gonna be amazing when it comes around. That looks really cool.
This is how I want my Bronco. I want the two-door like roof. It reminds me of a like 90s or 80s what do you call it? Is it a Suzuki?
X190 or X90.
Oh, yeah.
One that's like a little coupe. Yes, that's what it is.
I love this tiny little hard top for the two-door Bronco with a tiny little almost like truck bed style rack. I don't know.
I think you should get that, and I'll put a lift kit on my GX, and we'll see whoever can jump the best.
And then, this four-door Bronco with tracks, which is ridiculous.
I know who that's going to.
So I saw
hopefully the Antarctic or Greenland.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
But I was going to say Ken Block.
Richard Hammond might buy it.
But he just switched to Audi.
Yeah, he did.
Because he had the first-gen Raptor with tracks.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I've seen a YouTuber who did that to his Raptor. He put tracks on it.
It was great.
I really want to drive
Grand Tour something. Did it with a Focus RS, and it overheated.
Oh, I remember, and he blew the clutch up.
Yeah. I really want to drive something with tracks. Like, just want to experience
it. I feel like it's horrible.
You can go rent one of those Bobcat loaders for, like, $39 a day.
Or just go to Iceland.
Simple flight over.
Yeah, Reykjavik.
Just don't take American Airlines because you'll be stuck in the airport like Kyle for the entire day without leaving.
Yeah,
I saw that. Yeah.
I saw, let me pull it up here. I did see some tracks in Boulder on this Jeep Wrangler.
Wow. Wow.
Driving around town on that too.
Yeah. I like it besides the stock fenders.
Yeah, I agree.
Everything else is done to the car except the fenders.
And honestly, I think it is a missed opportunity not having a spare track where the spare tires are probably mounted. Yeah.
Or just put two on the roof. He's got the space for it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It just looked funny because we hadn't had snow in a while, so it was just kind of, driving around on very clean streets that hadn't been snowed on for probably a week.
To be fair, that only worked for like 2 days last winter.
Yeah. But now let me see what other Broncos we had here.
I want to take a vehicle on tracks to drive through, like a Starbucks. That looks like, it's where he must have been.
The ultimate flex. the Baja kind of Bronco, which actually, it's a rendering, but it's kind of low.
I hope it's a lot higher than what it says right there.
Yeah.
It's not even a good Photoshop rendering. Neither of these.
That's so bad.
Look at the front wheel on that. It's so off.
It's the same wheel as the rear wheel.
Just a different size.
Yeah.
I actually think the Bronco Sport has some potential to be kind of a cool little car.
I feel like this one looks cool. A good, like, medium to light off-road car. Just do like a 1-inch lift and some knobby tires. But
considering how its price of entry is, $30,000, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could ever own a Sport over a normal Bronco.
Yeah, that's true. Because I think you can get a pretty stripped down Bronco for almost the same money as a stripped down Bronco Sport.
Yeah, which so is... I think I spec'd it out to where you still got the LED headlights and the upgraded sound system, and it was like $39.40 or something like that.
Upgraded sound? Who needs that?
Like, I do. Luxury.
I do. Yeah.
But, you know, I can actually see myself having a Bronco Sport more than I could see myself having a Bronco. Something like really capable but small. Like, eh.
I love the 95%
of the time it's on the road. Does it matter? You know, like,
yeah.
I saw.
I'd rather get 26 mpg or something.
Then go on Copart and go find yourself a wrecked one.
I saw a Sport today with the yellow, and every time I see it, I'm like, that's a good color. Yellow with all mm-hmm. the black.
Yeah.
It's a good looking little car, actually.
Yeah.
I always, speaking of like good colors, like I've built a couple Ford Mavericks with Cyber Orange, I believe is what they call it, is one of the best colors ever on like a mini truck. And I can't wait to actually see those things like lowered on rims. Like they're probably going to look amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Like bring it back for sure. And the Maverick itself, I think, is just a really great product and timed perfectly in reality.
Yeah. The mini truck scene used to be huge, like the
in the 90s, you know, yeah,
Rangers and the Datsuns and stuff like that. Like those were cool. I'm excited for like mini truck 2.0.
yeah, I mean, they had to bring the Maverick out because the Ranger was the mini truck, and then they made it F-150 size. Huge. Because the F-150 became F-250 size. Moving them up and then bringing something else underneath it. I would love a like two-door Maverick. I think that'd be sweet.
Short bed, two-door, slammed. There we go.
Hybrid.
Oh. Hybrid. Straight pipe hybrid. Yeah.
LS swap.
6 feet.
Last topic I wanted to have kind of fun with. We had an article go up recently that was just the top 10 cars your grandparents need to consider. I wanted to see what you guys thought of this list, but also the things you would add that maybe aren't on here. So really quick, I'll just list them off. Toyota Avalon Hybrid, great idea. Lincoln Nautilus, taking that Ford luxury. Hyundai Sonata, Toyota Corolla, Honda Insight EX, Toyota RAV4 Prime. That's a grandparent in style. Audi SQ5.
SQ5, yeah.
That's a grandpa
another
style.
Another one of the style, yeah. Cadillac CT5V?
Yeah, didn't want to spend Blackwing money,
yeah,
basically.
And then, you know, Tesla Model S.
Yeah,
like an ID4. So, I guess, what do you think of this list, but also, what would you add to it?
I think for the first section, for, what was it, the last car they would buy?
Yeah.
I would throw a Macan in there.
That's actually a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see a Macan.
Macan's a great old person sporty car because it's got that seat.
Yeah, I was stuck behind a Macan going 10 under yesterday. Oh. So probably.
I mean, honestly, another car that would fit in that category, like last car they buy, Ford Escape. I mean, it's just, it's affordable. It's probably actually cheaper than the Avalon. And yeah, it's easy to get in and out of.
I think Ford, they would solely buy the Avalon to, they know their time's up, and within time, it's just going to go to one of their grandkids.
Yeah, I would ask my grandkids.
I'm sure there's quite a few Avalons that are hand-me-downs.
I'd ask my kids what they want. So my grandpa just sold was it a Camry hybrid? Because
they did make those, yes.
Yeah, he had a Camry hybrid, loved it. It was quick and sporty. He thought it was incredibly fast. And but he sold it because it was just too annoying to get in and out of. So he replaced it with a RAV4, not the Prime, sadly, but it is the RAV4 hybrid.
XSE,
yep. And that deep blue color. And he loves it. He can't imagine a better vehicle. So that's a personal. And then my other grandpa, who I just saw him on my way back from the East Coast. He's 96, still drives himself to work.
Good for him.
He has a Chevy Trax.
Yes. So I was going to say Trax is definitely on that level, or Buick Encore, you know, that should be here for sure.
Yeah.
And I'd like to submit the SL Mercedes.
Ooh. Yeah, that would work.
Fancy grandpa car.
Yeah.
So
I
asked both my grandparents what their first car they bought was. And I think that grandpa, who's 96, he bought his first car in 1940 something. And it was a Buick. He didn't even remember what model it was, but he bought it for 50 bucks. And he just views cars. He views cars solely as an appliance, does not care. On the other hand, my other grandpa and grandma both had like fun roadsters and stuff growing up. So MGB and all that.
Oh, that's where you get it from.
Yeah. So that's, I was kind of like, where do I get this from? Yeah, definitely the other side of grandparents. but yeah, it's pretty good list. I definitely the ID4, which is funny because the ID4 I could see as like kind of hip because it's objectively a good car, but it's easy.
If my grandpa were to buy a EV, I would not throw him in a Tesla. Mm-hmm. I'd say ID4, perfect. Yeah. Just take it and go. You can figure it out yourself. And that's how easy it is.
Although the ease of
honestly, another car that could be on this list is like a Mini Cooper Countryman.
Yeah.
You know, because it's easy to get in and out of. It's kind of funky and unique and, oh, I'm still young and hip and all that. So. Right.
But also with the charging aspect, my grandmas don't drive anywhere. They can just plug it in at home and it's just like, just there you go.
That's it. Problem solved. Never have to put gas in it ever again.
Yeah, exactly.
I would also submit the smart car because I don't think outside of myself and Kyle, I've ever seen anyone who likes them below the age of 60.
Mm. That's very true.
And it fits in the back of an RV.
Yeah, we were in Germany going to charge. I don't remember what car it was. And then some older dude and his daughter were trying to figure out how to charge their new brand new electric smart car.
Yes, that's cool.
I'd never really seen anyone else in public with an electric smart car. I drove to the track once in Kyle's in Rocky Mount. And with the license plate dumb, I just people coming next to me just laughing at me.
It's a fun car to like almost make fun of yourself, and especially if it's the smart convertible. I would honestly, unpopular opinion, I would love to import a smart roadster in a couple of years when they're legal. From a
very unpopular opinion.
Horrible.
I think the only good smart car is electric, and Kyle's smart car, the convertible that he has, was really. I don't think I've laughed as hard in a car than driving or riding in that car, especially on the off-road track at the track in Rocky Mount. That was absolutely hilarious. I crack up thinking about it.
We really just use that car as a rally car.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, I won't lie. It was, and they're fine to drive around and commute in, I guess. But yeah, you're going to have to get used to getting some odd looks and probably some laughs.
It's good to commute in if you do like 10 miles to work.
As of 2013, the average age of a smart buyer is 55.3 years.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Smart. It's just a small little runaround. But
I think ID4 will get there as well.
Yeah, I was going to say ID4 as a grandparent electric car is probably going to be the number one, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's so easy to get into as well. And it's got massaging seats too.
Sold. I haven't
experienced those yet.
They do.
They're not S class level, yeah. But they do some work.
Yeah. So we're getting an ID4 all wheel drive this week. Do you know what trim that is, Timon?
No idea. I found out that we were getting an ID4 yesterday.
It's probably the S or the Gradient Pro, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's going to have the Gradient package. I don't think they would send us one without one, honestly.
Yeah, probably a good idea. But no, the best grandpa flex I ever saw was Cars and Coffee in Dallas. A grandpa showed up with his granddaughter because he needed a second driver in his LaFerrari and his F40. It was a matching like duo. And that was like magical standing between those cars. I was like, this is a lot of money.
Actually, I just we missed the obvious because we talked about it already. Why is Corvette not on the perfect car for your grandparents to own? They're already in line to order
cars on this list.
Yeah.
So yeah, the categories I didn't say those. We said the first one, the last car. The next one is I'm waiting on my social security check. So these are the cheaper ones. The next one is the grandma who only drives in town to bingo in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
The grandpa who has need for speed to get to his tea time.
That's right.
I guess a Corvette would fit in that because you can put golf clubs in a Corvette.
Yeah, I would change the Corvette with the CT5.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. I could see Corvette. I was going to say maybe Jaguar F-Type, but I think Corvette probably would be a better fit.
Not the F-Type, no.
And then the last one.
Shay's no longer produced. That could be on the list.
The last one is tech-savvy grandparent who built their own computer. I feel like there could be a co-segment that was like grandparent who built their own car back in the day. Because, I don't know, that's my grandpa, the one who had an MG, because he literally could just disassemble it and reassemble it. Which I don't.
Well, that's because it broke down all the time.
Yeah, that's just normal. Because he had that's normal highway driving.
Yeah.
Well, that about sums up the podcast. Yeah. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have lots of outlets you can check out. Out of Spec, of course, everywhere, including Twitter. I'm on Twitter, Jordan_Schieffer. Mike is M_Breeling. Ben is Benji_OOS. You'll find time in, are you on Twitter or just Instagram?
I'm on Twitter as well. It's just my first and last name, Timon Skurd. I would look it up, honestly. That's so hard to spell.
Well, on Instagram, it's got some juicy stuff at Tipsy Media. Yeah, and then some
really cool photos.
Timon, we have a Discord, right?
Fully set up and functioning. You get alerts when new videos come live if you choose to sign up for those notifications. And there's a QR code up on the screen right now if you're watching on YouTube. I don't know how well it's going to work, but we're here. Oh, wrong way. We've got, I think, over 200 active members that we just – there's sections set up to communicate with anyone that's in there about electric cars, combustion cars, really anything you want.
Yeah, so come and join us on Discord, and we'll see you all in the next podcast.